Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
My name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or a special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mentioned. Quick question, are you on my newsletter list? Every week I send out a newsletter to my readers with EdTech favorites, free events, giveaways, and more. If you get on the list, you'll automatically get one of my free EdTech guides as a special bonus. Go to classtechtips.com/signup to make sure you don't miss a thing. Today's episode is titled, How to Increase Participation During Asynchronous Instruction, Part 2. Now, this is part 2 of a 2-part series because last week, if you listened to episode 87, we talked about how to increase participation and boost engagement during synchronous instruction. So today's episode is going to focus in on asynchronous instructional tips. Now, you don't need to necessarily have listened to last week's episode. I'm not going to reference it a whole lot, but if you are thinking about participation, getting kids talking and sharing during distance learning, blended learning, you name it, well, both episodes have some tips for both the synchronous, everyone's working together at the same time, and asynchronous instruction. So let's go ahead and dive in, and we'll start off today talking about this term asynchronous instruction and what asynchronous instruction actually means and in the kind of context of what we're looking at today. So before we go into our tips for increasing participation and boosting engagement during this type of experience, let's really break down the term asynchronous instruction first. So I'm actually going to read for you a paragraph from my Distance Learning Essentials Guide that I created for ASCD. If you've been following along for a bit now with my work, you might know that my book, Tasks Before Apps, is an ASCD publication, that I did a quick reference guide, which is essentially a 6 panels of content. It's laminated. And I did one for them in February of 2020, all around classroom technology tips. Well, this summer we put together a distance learning essential. So this is essentially what I'm reading from when we talk about asynchronous versus synchronous learning. So in an asynchronous learning environment, students work through content at different times while adhering to a general schedule or timeline. For example, a teacher might post a collection of videos or an article for students to read and discuss. There is an expectation that students will view the content and participate in an online discussion during a set time frame, but not at an exact time. So students in the class can participate at a time of day or day of the week that works for them. So if you've been working in an asynchronous environment, another term that might have come into your conversations is self-paced. So kids are working at their own pace. And there are absolutely some connections to the flipped classroom model that you may have explored in years past, where kids are essentially going off working on their own and then coming together for something live or at a particular time. Now, some schools are doing a combination asynchronous and synchronous learning experiences if they're working remotely with their group, And so today I wanted to focus in on how to increase participation during a synchronous instruction or asynchronous learning experiences that kids are doing kind of on their own, you know, self-paced. So we're going to look at six strategies, six tools as well that go along with it. And you might hear me, of course, pepper in a couple more when I can't help myself, but let's go ahead and get started on our list of six. So first up is to set up a shared space. So a shared space is something that during an asynchronous experience, kids can log into at whatever time works best for them. They all have access to it and they can post something, they can read or review the posts of other people. So a shared space can be, it can have different levels of collaboration and permission, but that's essentially what we're thinking of here. Something where everyone's invited in, they know what they're going to do when they get there, then that might include contributing something to that space or reading or reviewing other contributions. Now, a favorite tool for this is Padlet. If you've joined me in for a webinar this year, I've been using Padlet a lot with groups because not only is it just a shared space, but it also allows you or students to contribute in lots of different ways. So that shared space, someone might post a picture, they might take a selfie, they might record their voice or a video, or type in a text response, kind of like a virtual sticky note. So this can increase participation during asynchronous instruction because you're giving kids choice and differentiating the ways they respond. It also allows you to set up routines so that everyone knows that by the end of the week, you know, this is what the expectation is for them to jump into, and you're giving them some options. So number one on our list of how-tos is to set up a shared space. Padlet is one tool that lets you, or helps you, I should say, make that happen. Number two on the list is to establish check-in times. This is an opportunity to increase participation by giving kids some choice on when they can log in and check in with you live. So asynchronous instruction isn't a free-for-all, anything you want to do, whenever you want to type of environment. It really is coordinated and structured, even though there's that flexibility built in. So you might not have check-in time as something that is mandatory for students. You might find it more like in office hours where folks can come in and ask questions as needed, and maybe you have some looser expectations like, I expect you to jump in once a week or once every 2 weeks for one of these live check-ins. That way kids can work it out in their schedule and their family schedule. So a great way to give kids an opportunity to join in for these check-in times is having calendar reminders that you set up for them. Now, a couple things that you might do here. First up is you might create some recurring events on a master calendar, and you share that out to students with the ability for them to accept or that invitation or say yes or decline that invitation. Then it becomes something that is added onto their calendar. So that's a way to coordinate check-in times and having reminders that go along with it. Another option, and I do this a lot, so if you've ever reached out to me and, you know, maybe we're talking about a professional development session or something like that, and we're trying to find a time to connect, I have my Google Calendar set up with blocks that are for appointment times. And this would allow anyone, so it could be colleagues or students, and students in the way we're talking about today, choosing a 15-minute time or a 30-minute time block. And this would be a check-in time where they could pick from a whole bunch, and that you would have that calendar, you know, open for them to pick and choose. So you can do that in Google Calendars. So that's an option, of course, too. But having reminders or things that they can sign up for is a great way to facilitate or coordinate those check-in times. So number one on the list is to set up a shared space. Number two is to establish check-in times. The third way to increase participation during asynchronous instruction is to schedule optional study halls. You could also think of this as independent work time. It's essentially a time on the calendar where you're not really leading a lesson or anything like that, but similar to a study hall, there's a time and a space and an invitation for students to log in and get to work. So this is something that might be helpful for certain students who are craving that kind of structure with their time. And you might decide that you give this as an option for students to do some work time when you're kind of all together on the Zoom call. So Zoom would be a tool of choice. You could do this for Google Meet or Teams. Now, the idea here is you say to everyone, okay, we are going to have an hour study hall on Thursday this week. You're welcome to join in. And you might have some norms like everyone jumps in for the first 5 minutes. Everyone kind of waves and says hello, or maybe answers a poll or shares something about what's going on for their week. So something kind of low stakes, more community building. And then you essentially just have this video call where everyone is muted, but they're working on whatever their thing is for that hour. Now, a couple ways to structure this. You might decide to chunk it into, say, 3 20-minute sessions where you have a mini break in between each one. So you encourage kids to get up and stretch. And so they have this kind of work time built into their schedule, but it's focused into those 20-minute blocks. You might also have kids set an intention, especially if they're working on different things. So this might be something that you try out with all of your students. So say you're teaching fourth grade and you have a lot of asynchronous or self-paced work, you might provide this as an option. Or you might decide that this is something that if you say teach 120 students, you are teaching a bunch of different classes over the course of the day, that you have this as an option. And so kids from different classes might come in. So this is something that's different than Q&A. So you might have a different time, or you might remind students that they can submit questions during a certain time. This would be something that is more around community building, setting time for focused work time, having some structure and face time for kids. So scheduling optional study hall is number 3 on our list. Number 4 is to use video updates. So instead of saying, okay, everyone, you can have this optional study hall time or optional check-in times, you can use video updates with a tool like Flipgrid, where kids are encouraged maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, to post a video update in Flipgrid. So this means you would set up a space and invite students in. You might have a prompt that's academic or more around a social emotional learning goal that you have. And that's a great way to give kids some options for sharing or providing updates during the week. So great for boosting participation from kids that might feel like they want to be part of the group. They might want to reply to their classmates in that space. And what I do really like about Flipgrid is that kids can be really silly in that space too, in a great way. They can choose filters and add emojis, so they can get really creative, and that can help boost their participation as well. So number 3 is to schedule optional study halls. Number 4 is to use video updates. Number 5 on the list is to rethink live activities. Now, I want to, of course, mention that we don't want to think of things kids are doing at home as a substitution for a copy of what they did in a classroom in a live environment. But there are certain live activities that might not seem on the surface as being great for asynchronous, but we can rethink them a bit and they have some benefits in an asynchronous. It doesn't have to be something we do live, even if we're used to doing it live. So one example of this is a word cloud. I love word clouds when I'm on a live call with a group. We can all put in our words and we watch this word cloud grow over a couple minutes while we're together, right? People are hitting submit. One word gets bigger, one word gets smaller, they rearrange. I love it, right? But this is something you can also do in a asynchronous activity, so rethinking that live activity of doing a word cloud with a tool like Mentimeter, you might instead set up the word cloud so everyone can submit their words when they're ready over the course of the week. And then at the end of the week or the beginning of the next week, you can reveal that word cloud. So imagine you're teaching a seventh grade English language arts class and you're doing a novel study and everyone's reading the same book on their own, or you've got everyone reading a different book with different characters, maybe underneath a big theme like a books, like all books with strong characters or something like that. You might have them each add words to a word cloud that describe the main character of the book they're all reading, or that describe the main characters of their individual book. So then they have this whole word cloud full of character traits, and you kind of do a big reveal at the end. So in this way, kids wouldn't watch it grow in real time. They would submit, move on to the next thing, and then they would have that to come back to later on. So number five on the list is to rethink live activities. Six for our list of how to increase participation during asynchronous instruction is to try out some weekly themes. Now, if you've ever been in a school where they do spirit days, right? We know that sometimes that can be problematic, especially if we've got a really specific type of thing and it might require students to go out and buy something or it might be hard to do. We also know that even doing like a show and tell during synchronous learning, which in theory sounds fun, like everyone go grab something soft, you know, in your house, or everyone go find something purple wherever you are. We know that that does have some pretty significant things that we should be concerned about in terms of equity and access for students. Kids might be, you know, in a spot where they are not really able to do that or move around. I know that I do some remote learning tutoring with students this fall, and sometimes they're, you know, in between activities or they might be in the car, right? So there's a lot going on for everyone. So instead of doing something like that, that might be a little live and overwhelming for kids, you might try weekly themes to boost participation and have students, you know, over the course of the week, get into that spirit day outfit or find that favorite book, right? Or whatever it is that would be the prompt for your weekly theme. This gives students a little bit more time to participate and more options. So you can still be sensitive of the fact that students might not have access to that thing in that moment, but you can make it a little bit wider and provide more time by using something like a weekly theme. And it could be having students post photos from spirit day kind of activities or things like that that they might work on their own or at home. They might post it into your learning management system, maybe snap a picture with Seesaw or make a collaborative Google slide deck with all of their pictures. So lots of options to get them doing that. So our six items on the list, or six strategies, I should say, on our list of how to increase participation during asynchronous instruction is to first set up a shared space. You might use Padlet. Number two, establish check-in times like calendar reminders. Number three, schedule optional study halls, maybe using Zoom or Google Meet. Number four, use video updates like Flipgrid. Number five, rethink live activities like Mentimeter, word clouds. Or number six, try weekly themes like having students post photos from spirit days or other things that they can participate in. Now, you know that every episode I like to finish off with the same phrase, let's make this EdTech easy. First, think about how you want self-paced instruction to look. Next, try just one strategy on the list, like video updates. Then, ask students about the strategy and what they might change. Finally, add that to your routine and revisit the list. Remember, you can find all of the resources from this episode at classtechtips.com/podcast. Now, we're taking a break next week for the Thanksgiving holiday, but we will be back the very first day of December, it's a Tuesday, with a brand new episode. If you're traveling this Thanksgiving, I know I have a very long car ride ahead of me, you can listen to any of the 80 or so episodes of the podcast. Just scroll back in the app where you're listening to this episode and pick a topic to learn more about it. Don't forget to make sure you have a spot on my newsletter list. Every week I send out a newsletter to my readers with EdTech favorites, free events, giveaways, and so much more. And believe me, there is a lot in store for 2021. Although when I say 2021, it kind of sounds like space years or sometimes far off into the future. If you're listening to this episode when it goes live in November, you know that it's right around the corner. So if you get on that list, you'll automatically grab one of my free EdTech guides as a special bonus. Just go to classtechtips.com/signup or use the link right on my homepage to make sure you don't miss a thing as we get ready for the next year. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow @ClassTechTips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations remotely with webinars and virtual professional learning. So if your group is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.